Welcome to Sleepy Hollow. Hello and welcome to Sleepy Hollow podcast, a podcast all about the Fox TV show Sleepy Hollow. My name is Sarah, and I'm joined again by Abby this week, and we are discussing the finale. Oh, I can't believe it's finale already. It feels like we just started this.
I can believe it's finale. It feels like we started this 5 months ago.
Okay.
It is. I mean, like, I feel like now that it's here, you're like, no, I don't want it to be over. But it took us a really long time to get here. So
For 13 episodes, yes, it did take us a long time to get here.
So I'm glad that we got over that hurdle. We're here. And just enjoy what we have left. Because this is it. Like, once we talk about it, we can't talk about it no more. I mean, obviously we can, but not in the same way.
We should totally have, like, a series recap episode.
Yes.
Where we just go through each episode.
Yes. And, like, character podcasts are my favorite, when you just get to sit down and, like, have an emotional moment and narrative breakdown with a character. That's always fun.
We should totally draw up a schedule for the hiatus. Like, this month we'll do this. This month we'll do this character. This month we'll do this character.
Sounds perfect.
Awesome. That way we can break up the hiatus with a little bit of Sleepy Hollow goodness. And keeping everyone informed of any news or filming updates and casting and everything.
Yes. I can't wait. Casting news is, like, always my favorite. I love casting news.
Okay. Can I just say, there was are you familiar with John and Hank Green?
Yes.
Okay, are you familiar with the Lizzie Bennet Diaries?
Yes.
Have you watched them?
No.
You know the reenactment that they did? The Ichabod, mm-hmm. The one he thought was Katrina?
Uh-huh.
She's in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
Oh, I've seen her before.
Mm-hmm. Because I was watching it going, I know your face, I know your face, where do I know your face from? But yeah, that's where she's from. So, yeah, I don't think, like, a recap, because there's so much happened.
Yeah.
I don't think a recap's going to do it justice. So
no.
We want to just dive in. General feelings about the finale. A couple of twists and turns that I did not see coming, shall we say. Henry being Jeremy. What the fuck? Did you see that coming?
Okay, so here's the thing. I remember we talked about this on this podcast. Orlando Jones is like, nobody sees it coming. Actually, yes, I did see it coming because there was someone in the main tag after episode 9 that proposed this very idea. And they proposed it in relation to Headless. They said, oh, wow, wouldn't it be so cool if all the horsemen were, like, people that were somehow related to Ichabod, and they started listing off potential people, and Jeremy was one of them. And they were like, but what if Jeremy's still around? What if he's one of the characters in the show? And I went, that would be mind-blowing, but I don't think it would be possible. Mind you, I didn't think it would be possible that he would have a child. So for me, it was kind of, I was like, whoa, but I wasn't like, holy mother of pearl, you know, it wasn't this hugely astounding thing to me. I'm pretty sure I've seen every possible fan theory out there, I had, and so I was like, ooh, this is so great, and John Noble gets to be evil, yes, but, I mean, it wasn't, like, heart-stopping for me. It was great, though. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful twist, but
yeah. Unfortunately, I did the stupid thing, and I was on Twitter. So I saw Henry and Jeremy's name in the same sentence and went, Aw, crap.
This is why you gotta say all social networking.
Cannot be on it. It's impossible to do it for several hours. But yeah, but even though I knew it was going to happen, I still was very interested in how it was going to happen, how he was going to reveal to it. And he left it quite late. It was, there was literally only about 5 minutes left by the time he was like,
yeah,
mother and father.
It was so maniacal. It was so, the delivery was just, I mean, I'm really glad that John Noble is staying around because I loved Henry and I think I'm going to love Jeremy and this is just going to be really great. He's really fun to watch. And, you know, I'm not used to seeing him play bad guys. But I think he can do it well. I was like, oh my God, you could like feel the contempt just, like, radiating off of him. I was like, oh my God, this is so great. This is so great.
Yeah, he did play it very well. I was very impressed. Oh, there's so much to discuss. Let's start with the episode 12. It's just one big blur in my head because I've literally just watched it.
It's hard because those last 10 minutes, you're just like, what, what? Oh my God, what, what? Then it just kind of like makes you forget everything else that happened up to it. I think episode 12 was actually, though, a really strong episode. I'm kind of sad that it didn't have the opportunity to stand alone because next to the finale, it looked kind of mediocre, but it wasn't. Like, the supernatural element of this show, in the way that they performed it in the last three episodes, including the finale, like, really good. The historical twisting, it wasn't like, it didn't, like, consume the entire story, but it led them to really interesting settings, was really well incorporated in terms of the major plot of, we have to stop the apocalypse. Andy coming back. Was he the perceived character death in the finale? Because 112 isn't the finale.
Unless, I don't know. Yeah, maybe he, but if he had a hole punched through his head, I don't think a cave collapsing on top of him is going to kill him anymore.
No. I concur with you on that. I concur.
So, did we actually see any death?
Don't say it.
Okay, none of our characters are in a very good place. Abby's in purgatory. Katrina has been taken by Headless. Frank is being trialed for the murder of the policeman and the priest.
Oh, this is so sad.
Jenny is in an upturned car bleeding. Andy is buried under a Washington's tomb, and Henry's roaming around being all ha.
and then you want to do the last one?
Ichabod's in a coffin.
He's in a box in the ground. I feel like so many people were like, no! And when I screened it the first time, my literal reaction was, well, I hope he has some time to think about what he's done. I was not upset. I was like, there was a part of me that was pleased. Like, I was like, Ichabod, you need to take a seat. You need to be benched for a little bit, buddy. Like, we need to have a moment where we just work out what's going on here. And I felt like, oh, okay, maybe some time in the box will do him some good. I don't know how long he's going to be in there, but in our time, he's going to be in there for like 6 months at least, so that kind of placates me.
Okay.
I'm pretty good.
I thought it was a nice, give a nice rounding to the whole series, because he started off in the ground, he finishes in the ground.
Yes.
And it also it played out to the same music that was the ending of the first episode.
Uh-huh.
So it was very sort of full circle.
Yes, it was.
And I liked that about it. So while we're on the subject of Ichabod in the box, let's go into the subject of why we think Ichabod deserves to be in the box. I saw your post on Tumblr about this. Ichabod did a bad thing.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I think that, I'm going to be really honest. One thing that I really liked about this show, and I'll be very honest with you, is that I was concerned that this show was going to make Ichabod the victim all the time. That it was never going to hold him accountable for what he did, that it was going to be this poor Ichabod thing. And the one thing I think there are a lot of people that are kind of upset about this finale. I think there's a lot of people that are excited. I liked it. I'm in between because I feel like when it comes to Ichabod, 108 through 110 finally made sense to me. Like, I kept going, why is this happening? Why is he acting like this? Why are all these flaws coming out? Why is this a problem? And suddenly it emerged here. Everything emerged here. And it was kind of like a giant neon sign, you know? And I was like, oh my God, all of this makes sense. First of all of this is in character. This is not, you know, out of character. This is not OOC. I think they did a really wonderful job with his POV in terms of getting inside his headspace and knowing why he's doing what he's doing. I understood it for the first time in, months. I was like, wow, okay, this is why he's doing these things. I don't necessarily like Ichabod's flaws, right? I don't like what his weaknesses are, what he struggles with. I believe that is largely why we are in the mess that we are in. However, Ichabod's in a box. he's in a box. And the result of his actions has led to this thing that I'm really excited to see him try to deal with once he gets out. Because I feel like there was a moment in this two-parter that was the first time I had actually gone, wow, Ichabod, I think you can do this. I think you can be a hero. I was literally like, oh my God, let's do the thing. Here he is. And it was when he burned the map. And I was like, oh my God, okay, guys, let's go do the thing. Let's go save the world. And they just couldn't let me have that. Not even, until the end of the episode, they couldn't let me have it. Because, the end of the episode is him remembering this map and holding his wife's necklace and redrawing the map. And I've talked to people who have kind of argued that that wasn't what was really going on. He didn't go in for Katrina. He partly did go in for Katrina. I mean, that's essentially what that moment was saying, that, you know, Henry Parrish may have whispered in his ear, but Henry Parrish whispered in his ear because he knew Ichabod, and he knew what Ichabod was thinking, and he knew how Ichabod was going to react. Remember, he watched Ichabod act this way in 110. It's not this, all these things happened to Ichabod, and then he just reacted. Ichabod let his own personal passions get in the way. That's not to say that he didn't go in there thinking, I want to save the world. That's not to say that he went in there thinking, I want to hand over Abby's soul. But the fact of the matter is, for me, he let his judgment get clouded. And when we talk about Abby, we'll kind of talk about how that, at least for me, that opinion is solidified in terms of how they wrote her next to him in the finale and in The Indispensable Man. I don't feel bad for him. I think that perhaps, you know, when Ichabod is ready to really sacrifice, I don't think he's ready to let go in the way that Abby has when it comes to this, because Abby's realized that everything that she's sacrificed and everything that she's hurt, whether it was fate that was doing it or herself, there was a purpose for that. It was preparing her for this moment, for her to give her life for this cause. Ichabod is still clinging. He cannot let go. He cannot look at the things that he's had to give up and be like, this is part of my job. He still wants to have them. And that's what was so stinging for me about Henry being, you're not my father. I don't want you. because he went through all of this for a man who despises him. What do you do then when the very thing that has motivated you all along doesn't want anything to do with you? You know, and it's, I think it was this really pinnacle moment for him in terms of, you know, what is my purpose? What have I done? What are the choices that I make? And this war isn't just about me, you know, and what I want and what I think and what I care about. And, you know, I don't like Ichabod's flaws. I really appreciated the writing here. I think they did a really, really wonderful job with him.
I definitely agree with all you said. Yeah, I don't know what else to add. I think Ichabod is supposed to be one of the heroes of this story, and heroes typically throughout storytelling have to make difficult choices. They have to sacrifice themselves and what they want in to happen, you know, what their ideal situation is. And his ideal situation was to bring Katrina back, and that was the thing he was supposed to sacrifice. And oh look, no he didn't.
I think you know that this idea that I've talked to people about narrative and the narrative demanding that he bring Katrina out, but the thing is Henry Parrish demanded that he bring him out, not the narrative, not the overall goal. The prophecy was that he would hand over Abby's soul. The prophecy that is that once that was done, the Horsemen of War would take form. You know, that eclipse could have happened and Abby and Ichabod could have stayed out of purgatory. Who knows what would have happened?
Well, I think the story would have been, you know, it would have had somewhere different to go. Like, I know why they've done it, but, right. You know, the writers.
Exactly.
But I think the problem I have with it is, I know we've talked to death about how poor choices were made in the writing of Katrina's character, but I think his decision to bring Katrina out would have meant so much more and would have been such an emotional dilemma for the audience if we had been given a better connection between them throughout the series.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait till we talk about her, because I'm going to explain to you my exact reaction when I saw what happened to her when I screened it. Like, because it just was not, it was not pretty. It was not pretty. They needed a witch. Obviously they needed a witch. But I don't know if they needed one. I don't know if Henry put that there. Do you know what I mean? We don't know. They chose, Abby and Ichabod chose to walk into purgatory. Abby chose to stay behind. And I believe that Ichabod did not put it up as much as a fight, because he had other things in mind, just like Abby had other motivations in mind, other than when we talk about her saving the world. But it was just me watching him. I think it really hit me when Abby said, "You lied," and he said, "Half-truth." And she said, "Half-truth is a whole lie." And, you know, he was hiding things from her. How are you supposed to be the duo that saves the world when you cannot be honest with that, the one person that you're supposed to be honest with? It just, for me, it was kind of the systematic unraveling of Ichabod. And I think what it was doing, essentially, was setting him up for a nice, like, little hero arc, hopefully. But, you know, I don't need to see that from him. I think that the way that the writing handled him and his decisions, and looking back at one, oh, I'm telling you, Sarah, like, it's a completely different perspective on 108 to 110. Completely. When Ichabod's ready to be a hero, he will be a hero. And I don't know when that is or when that will be. Hopefully soon. I really loved his little map speech. I thought it was great. But I don't know. We can talk about Abby and Katrina when we get to them. But it was weird to see I guess not weird. It wasn't weird. It was very in character to see him do what he did.
I think he was looking for an easy way out. I think he thought reproducing the map may not have the same repercussions as using the map that he burned. However, I know we both watch a lot of TV, and by this stage we know that there are no shortcuts when fighting the forces of evil.
Yes. Yeah.
But unfortunately, our poor little, naive, flawed Mr. Crane.
And you also don't walk into, like, this was a self-fulfilling prophecy. I talked about tropes before this aired, and what I thought was going to be happening, and this was totally a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, it just rode the wave. Just right on. I was
If you've been told you're going to hand someone's soul over to someone else, you don't walk into that someone else's home.
Right? You don't. You don't say, we can find another way. Once you're in their home, you say, we can find another way before you walk through the door. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not once you're inside. I don't know. It was great, though. Like I said, everything made sense. I'm interested in seeing where he goes in season two.
Okay. Well, while we're sort of on the, shall we call them the trio, let's move on to what we thought about Abby, this Ichabod, and where she is, which is purgatory.
Oh, man. Hold up. Because, okay, you know that I have a love for Abby Mills.
Oh, I do.
But I did not realize how much I could love her. Like, I didn't realize when I was watching this. I think this is really important for people, especially, like, little girls, and especially, like, I'm going to be very honest, brown little girls, because watching Abby, she was literally, like, everything in this finale that you get out of white male heroes. Everything. And you never, ever, ever get to see women, but especially black women, get to exist in a way like that on screen, where they are selfless, but they are not sacrificial. They are strong, but they are not emotionless soldiers. They are smart. And they are caring. Somebody brought up on my dash that one of the things that they really loved about Abby as a protagonist is that Abby cared about the other characters. That in most narratives, the protags are the center of everybody's care circle. But here Abby was like, oh, Crane, I know how much you miss your wife. Oh, man, Katrina's trapped in purgatory. Oh, man, is Henry okay? I really hope Jenny is okay when I'm gone. There was this care and this. I have been waiting for a character like Abby Mills since before I was born. And to see her in that way and just existing, it was. And the narrative just gave her so many props. The writing gave her so many props. It did not. There was no, like I said, there was no this Ichabod is a victim thing. It was. You know, Abby is a straight shooter. And Abby realizes her position and her duty. 108 to 110, again, this gave me a new look on what Abby was doing. Abby wasn't backing down. You know, Abby wasn't being suppressed. It wasn't this weird writing thing that suddenly happened. It was Abby was picking her battles. And the battle that she thought was most important to rage with Crane was why they were going to go into purgatory, because going into purgatory would determine how and when they were able to stop the apocalypse. That was the battle that was worth fighting. She wasn't going to play, like, kiddie games with him. He's a grown man. He can handle it. What's most important when we need to reality check each other is when it comes to, why are you doing this? And will this have some kind of negative effect on the world ending? The whole fact that Ichabod was built into her storyline, I didn't realize it had nothing to do with Ichabod. It had everything to do with Abby. It was all about Abby's trust. You know, that they kept saying that before this finale end, that the relationship between Abby and Ichabod would be tested. It would be tested. And you see Abby throughout this entire finale, like after the lie, after she basically calls him on the lie. You know, we see her after asking Henry about the prophecy and if he knows, because she's going, I need to know if I can trust him. Is this a legitimate thing? Is this a legitimate fear that I have to be concerned about with my partner? She was very honest, and very smart, very aware, perceptive. It was just to watch her. I was like, wow, Abby Mills was probably the best character that came out of the finale. Even though she's, like, in purgatory, yes. You know, and her choice at the end, people have debated whether or not it was her choice. That was her choice. This is her hero arc. Abby Mills is a hero. She chose to stay. And she was literally, I mean, this was for the good of the world. She believed for the good of the world, and she trusted Crane when he said, I will come back for you. I mean, there was a moment there, though, when they hugged again, that you saw this kind of pain, and I couldn't figure out if it was because she had to say goodbye to him, or if she was afraid that he was going to leave her. And it just kind of, like, hit me, like, right in my heart, because Andy brought up in 112 at the beginning, everybody leaves Abby. And she had to kind of like deal with this thing that this person she had let get so close, like, was leaving her in the worst possible place. But, you know, while she's there, she's going to kick some ass and she's going to take some names. Like, this is not going to be wasted time. She is going to face her fear. She is going to take back what he took from her. And it was just, like, all of these, like, amazing things were happening with her in the finale. And I was just like, how did you manage to construct this beautiful character? How? How was this a thing? Also, like, thank you. Let me throw candy and glitter at you. Because it was wonderful. I was so happy with Abby and her characterization. And, you know, I'm not happy that she's in purgatory. I'm not happy that she's... I'm not excited. I'm like, really? We saw this coming, and yet it still happened. But speaking of, she's in a very particular part of purgatory. She's in a dollhouse.
I have to say, I like the dollhouse. I thought that's really interesting and really well done. And I like that she's in there with her younger self and Jenny's younger self, because that's the sort of personification of the day everything went to shit.
Yes.
I think it's brilliant. Just to play devil's advocate, I totally agree 100% with everything that you're saying about Abby and wonderful, but I just want to get what you thought about a certain bit that stood out for me in episode 12. Mm-hmm. And that is whenever she uses Andy's affection over him. I just want to know what you think about that little interaction.
She uses Andy's affection over him. Period. I mean, like, here's the thing. I can sit here and I can gloss, you know, I'll be like, oh, and wax over Abby, but Abby is just as flawed as Ichabod is. You know, like, they were just in different places, but this is one thing that I don't like that Abby does. And you know, I think she kind of, when she brought it back to Ichabod that Andy was in her house, I think she kind of touched on it in that she isn't sure herself whether it's because he cares or because he's trying to manipulate her. And I think that became more poignant for me when she walked into purgatory and her first level of purgatory was Corbin and Andy. That's who she saw.
I find it that very was interesting yet that it was Andy and not Luke.
Oh, wow. Well, okay, that is interesting. Is the purgatory only, can your purgatory only be where people who are dead go that you can see? Or is it just whoever you imagine?
Hmm. That's an interesting question. I haven't considered that one. Because we didn't see anybody else in their purgatory, did we?
Mm-mm. They were all technically dead people.
Hmm. Well, that gives us a very... Well, if you're correct that it is only dead people that can show up in purgatory, that means we have Gonzalez again in series 2. Perhaps? Luke in series 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were worried that he was maybe going to be one of the the one that died.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Devin?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, after Ichabod got shut in his box and the screen went black, I literally went, what the fuck are they gonna do? Because everybody that they could call upon is, like, in a position, right? They don't really have anybody. And maybe Jenny will get up. Jenny, and when I say maybe, I mean Jenny better get up. This is not a game. This is not a game. Like, don't, no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. I think that, you know, I don't know if Frank can really get himself out of this, but it would be interesting to make Luke useful in this way, in the sense that he's really, and you know, really the only person that they have at this point in time who's freed up, and interestingly enough, he cares a lot about Abby. So, what, I mean, like, my ideal situation would be like, yes, we bring Luke in, and we try to figure out a way to get Abby out. But first we get Crane out of that box. You know what? Because, okay, I've heard people say that Abby will get herself out of purgatory. I believe that Abby will get herself out of purgatory, but that's not what I want. I want Crane to go back for her because he promised he would come for her. That is what I want. I want this dude to stop breaking promises. I want him to live up to what he is. I want to seek redemption.
I think he needs for himself to show some sort of atonement. Because
yes,
this is his fault.
Yeah, I would. I know there are some people who think it's not, but I certainly would, on some level, agree with you that yes, this is his fault.
He was told that this was going to happen whenever he went, you know, to Moloch, that he was going to deliver, and he went anyway. So
yeah, blatantly, just like
obviously, he thought his strength of character would be enough to withstand it, but he was proved a little wrong.
Yeah, I think he's a little. He thinks of himself a little highly. I wonder if that's going to change. Perhaps. Perhaps this is the beginning, the true beginning of Ichabod's hero cycle. But again, like I said, I'm not waiting around for it. I'll wait for it when it actually happens. But Luke, I would like to see him. You know, I just remember the first time we saw Luke and how him and Ichabod were just doing this who has the bigger telescope thing. And I was just like, wow, this is like every show needs an antagonistic. You know what I mean? Like, an antagonistic relationship. People feed off of that. That is so much fun. And we didn't really get to see that again. And I would just really love to, like, bring Luke into the fold with Jenny. And I want to see Jenny be the one in control versus Ichabod in the trio. You know, Ichabod, Abby, and Jenny. I would love to see Jenny just kind of doing her thing. And, you know, Luke and Ichabod side-eyeing each other. And, you know, I want to see Frank get out. And I want to see them free her. But I also think that her being in purgatory, unlike someone else, Katrina, might be useful. Moloch locked her memory away. She was sent there when she was like, okay, they were like 10 or 11 when this happened to them.
Yeah.
They don't look 10 or 11. The younger, no, they don't. But the newspaper said, I believe they said that they were 10 and 11, respectively. And it's interesting that he would force that out of his mind, because what we saw earlier in the season was that Abby has some kind of powers, right? And those powers directly relate to dead people, like talking to dead people. And I'm like, wow, you're in a giant world full of dead people. How convenient is that? Like, you know, and you've got this memory locked away where who knows what she actually tried to do. Like, they said that she tried to stop them. She was sent there to try to stop them, but she can't remember what she did. What if she, like, did some magical shit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this could be an opportunity while she's in there to figure this stuff out, to work it out, and really just kind of come into a part of her witnessy self, I think. I don't think it has to be Abby running around in circles while, like, black things are crawling across the grass and girls with no faces are crying. Like, I don't think it has to be that. I think it can be this part of, like, you know, kind of like Greek mythology, and, like, various cultures have journeys about heroes going into the underworld and discovering things, and I feel like this is a great opportunity for her, and a great opportunity for Ichabod to atone, and to get some antagonism between him and Luke, and Jenny to do her thing, and Frank to get out, and everybody be a team. That's what I think this is a great opportunity for.
I think while Abby's in purgatory, she'll make, if there's a best to be made of it, she'll make the best of it, instead of sort of lolling around mourning.
Yes.
Like Katrina was doing.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Which leads us into a beautiful segue of Mrs. Crane. I just...
Sarah, never in my life did I see this coming. Like, maybe I should. This was actually probably the biggest twist. It was the biggest twist for me. Because I never would have saw this coming. I was like, really? For real? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. She picked up a stick, it spun in a circle, they walked, and then she became the princess in the tower again. How was that a thing?
Yeah, and let's bring a brilliant witch that we've been told is a brilliant witch out of purgatory, and oh no, my powers, they're not strong.
I just, like, at that point, I remember my feeling and seeing it. At first, I was like, what? Like, he just flung her over his shoulder and, like, rode right off. She is literally the Daphne of the group. She's, like, the Daphne of the Scooby-Doo gang. She is constantly getting caught. And then I was like, wait a minute. We did all this to pull her ass out of purgatory, and she just got caught again? Like, is this just going to be, like, a race to get Katrina out of one position over and over and over again? Like, what is she...
Because that's going to get very old very quickly. It is already very old.
I feel like, yeah, it is already old. I agree with you. And that... I just remember being like, wait a minute, you're a witch. Like, you know, like, undo the vine. Undo the vines. Like, come on, girl. You got this. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for her to do something. And then Henry just, like, sleep. And she was out. And then the vines just unwrapped her. And then Heblish just picked her up. And I was like, oh my god. What do you even do with her? What is she even gonna do? What? What is she gonna do?
Yeah, why do they need her? Because, I mean, they've locked... they've locked Ichabod in a box. They've locked Abby in purgatory. What was the point in taking Katrina? They could have just left Katrina there, because she probably can't fend for herself in the 21st century. Let's be honest.
No. No. She looked at Ichabod like, what the fuck is cool?
Can I just say, there was, throughout both episodes, there was lots of little Ichabod doing things. And sometimes they can get quite old, but I quite enjoyed the ones in these two episodes, especially him working out what a smiley face was, because my parents can't do that, and they're not that old.
Yeah, you know, I found it, my favorite one was probably literally the cell phone company's thing, because this is Ichabod development. I think people just took it as a joke, but it's actually him developing. He's developing in this joke, where you see him talk about, you know, the capitalism and all of this, and then he's like, well, I want one too. And you're just like, like, okay. Like, he's becoming a modern man. And not just a modern, maybe, okay, so development. This is good. Perhaps I will see more heroic Ichabod. But, you know, in this moment, it was really funny to just see him be like a regular guy. Like, to acknowledge that he has, like, wants and needs. Because he's always got that wall up, like, oh, no, I'm good. You know, how about you just not treat me like a child? And, of course, nobody wants to be treated like a child, but he's also just, like, new to this world. And, like, in this joke, he was like, yeah, so what? I want it. You have it. Give me the thing. You know? And I was like, all right. You go, Ichabod. Even though it goes against the very moral grandstanding that you were just doing.
It also appears that he's on social networking.
Yeah.
Ichabod has Facebook. At what point would he need it?
He has like seven. He has like no friends. Like, what?
It is physically impossible for you to have 500 friends. I counted 7 people in my close acquaintances and they all died.
He's just like, it's great. That's great writing. It's just wonderful.
It's a very nice commentary on how ridiculous society is today.
Yes.
Comparatively speaking. And I like that commentary. But, so, yes, Katrina is just our damsel in distress. And we're not a fan of that. It's such an easy trope. It almost feels like they're not trying.
That was the moment, and I reach a certain point when I get angry that I just stop caring because I don't want to be that angry anymore. And I think I've kind of reached that point with Katrina and her development. That it was literally like in the moment, I was like, "What? Are you serious?" And then I went, "They don't really care about her character, do they?" I mean, that was essentially what that move felt like. And I was like, "Okay, well, if you don't care, I guess I don't."
Yeah.
I mean, that's really sad. That's really it is. It's really upsetting for me to be like, because they have such a great ensemble, period. For me to have to be like, do you actually care about this character? Or, going back to my question from the last podcast, why was Katrina created? Why is Ichabod married?
She is his plot point.
Yes.
And it's just such a shame whenever they've shown that they can write such good characters with, like, every single other character on this show.
Yeah, it's confusing, too. Like, it's legitimately confusing. How did you write this?
Like, what? How did this one fall off the bandwagon?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's if it was a little more obvious and she was even worse written, you would almost think it was deliberate.
Yeah.
But she's not at that point either, so she's kind of stuck in the middle of what do you want this character to do?
Right.
Make up your mind, Sleepy Hollow writers. They're going to have to do a lot of work in season 2 for me to rebuild my faith
in Katrina.
Katrina. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Same with me.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next person on our list, which is Frank Irving.
Oh, okay. I just want to cry again. Oh, Frank.
Can I just say, I'm so glad that they did not just leave the story where it was. Because I have seen it in so many other shows where something happens and then everybody just moves it on and it's someone in the police station fills out a report and it's swept under the carpet. Uh-huh. I'm so glad that this is followed up and had actual consequences, really dire consequences.
Yeah, you know, I think Frank is like the little like train that could. Our perception of who he was and his role in this show in the beginning is so drastically different than what he is now. And I'm really appreciative of that. I really love who Frank has developed into. Like you said, there were really, these are really dire consequences. I know that we're like thinking of like Abby in Purgatory, Ichabod in a box, but in realistic terms, Frank is facing murder charges.
Two.
He could go away for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's facing two murder charges to save his daughter, which is...
Not even kidding, like the slow walk montage, and when he took his gun out and he did that thing, I cried. Like, my mom looked at me like, what is wrong with you? I said, this is so beautiful! Look at him giving his life! You know that, and when you juxtapose that next to Ichabod, it looks super weird. So don't do that. Like, I downloaded the episode and then I watched it on Hulu, and I was like, I was going back and I was looking at both sides, and it was the sacrifice, the theme of sacrifice is really well executed with Frank. I mean, I feel like it was well executed across the board in the finale, but consistently his family storyline and this sacrifice thing, they're really hitting it home with him, like really, really well. And it's painful, but you're so invested in him. I mean, so, like, invested in him. He's, oh, Frank, oh, buddy, sometimes I just want to kiss you because you're just so great.
I hope we get to see some of the fallout with the wife, because she finally now understands why he's not been around the family for the last however long. But having that sort of resolution of, oh, he's not just ignoring the family, there is something actually going on, but now he's sort of being taken away from them for real. So I would be interesting to see the fallout from her, because I'm so invested in her and Macy as well now.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's another option for her, possibly. I don't know which way they're going to go with her. I'm really interested, like you are, to see it. But there's also this idea that, you know, he didn't tell them. He didn't tell them. He knew what was going on, and he allowed Macy back into his life when all of this was happening. And, like, part of you as a mother wants to be like, oh my God, I understand now. But the other part is, like, you almost got our daughter killed. You know, like, and so I think there is, again, this complexity and this really awesome opportunity that they have with this family to really work out all of these things. I'm like you, like I said, very excited to see where they go.
He didn't really have much of an option. Like, she gave him an ultimatum of, you have Macy around, or she's never going to be around ever again. I'm going to take custody and you're not going to see her. So, I mean,
that,
what could
that
he
runs
done?
With the theme of sacrifice, though.
So, you're saying that
he could have made a choice then, and he chose to not sacrifice, and in doing so, he put Macy in harm's way. But now he's sacrificing. Like, he has this fool me once, shame on you; fool me twice, shame on me kind of plot line going. Like, Frank does things twice, and the second time he's like, got it. There isn't a he might not believe the first time, but he's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I saw it. Like, I believe you. Okay. I just think that his relationship to the show's themes are very complex. That's what I think. And I think that he's always going to be in these really tough positions that we're going to be able to ask these questions with. You know what I mean? And I don't think that whatever happens, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a really good thing, and really awesome to see it explored. But yeah, I do think he had a choice in the beginning. He could have let Macy walk out. And he chose not to, and it could have ended really badly. Lucky for him, his daughter isn't dead, but now he's going to jail. So
technically,
know.
It has ended quite badly.
Yeah. Yes, like, nobody won. I heard so many people just like be really upset that nobody won in the finale, and I was like, that's what makes it brilliant. That's what I loved about it, because I didn't feel like anybody got the short end of the stick. I felt like everybody got their due. it got doled out fairly, you know.
But it's season one. If somebody had won, you know, we'd have very little place to go in season two.
Right. Right.
So, no, I'm definitely happier. The last one on our list is, well, no, we have a couple more. Jenny. Upturned in a car.
Oh, God. No. Oh, I screamed. Well, I knew the sign. I knew the sign. I was like, it's Henry. It's Henry Parish. St. Henry's Parish. I knew that, and I was like, oh. Like, I actually, like, before I watched, before I screened the finale, I did a quick sweep again of all the saints' names. And what I came across was St. Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was. And there's literally a line about Henry doing exactly what he did there in terms of forsaking his father. And there's the literal line, come and see. Like, from this, like, prophet. Like, Jesus, I believe it actually is. And that's kind of Henry's relationship to Moloch. But it was interesting to see Jenny, like, be the one to uncover this. You know, like, that's not what I expected her role to be in the finale. I did not expect her to be the girl who everything clicked with, and she uncovered that one little clue that could have saved the day, and it was
too late.
It was kind of fun.
It was too late. I thought Henry had a beautiful face whenever they walked through the door into purgatory. It was a beautiful sort of subtle triumph when he was watching them walk through that arch doorway thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, if I hadn't been spoiled, I think at that point I would have been like, oh, something's up.
I did that because I was like, when I was watching it the first time, I was like, wait a minute, Henry doesn't like people go. I mean, he was like, I'll go with you. I was like, do we not remember 110 when Henry was like, I have a train to catch. I don't want to go fight that thing. Can we go somewhere else? This makes me uncomfortable. Like, and he was all gung-ho. Henry was like, in it to win it. And I'm like, what is going on with Henry? Why is Henry so passionate? And then somebody brought up on my dashboard when they were watching it, like, you know, why does Henry know so much about purgatory?
Yeah.
Which didn't even cross my mind. He knew an awful lot about it.
He did. It didn't really flag up as a red flag for me until it was too late, and it was like, oh no. But
yep. But Jenny.
Yeah. Jenny, uh-huh.
It's so hard with her. It's so hard. I will say that her scene with Nicole, Lindy's scene with Nicole between Abby and Jenny, also teared me up. Like, that was some beautiful, beautiful sibling dialogue. That was wonderful. I was like, oh my God. I was like, look at all the magical things that are happening. And then I kind of realized in that moment, I was like, wow, that really touched me. And then I thought, oh my God, you know what people do in shows where they kill people off? They make you feel safe right before they do it.
I love the progression of where the sisters are now from where they were at the start.
Yes.
But definitely. Which makes it even more heartbreaking that she's currently unconscious in a car.
I love Lindy. Oh my God, I love Lindy.
Did you see I saw one of the, I think it was a producer, put up on Twitter the photograph of the broken camera. That car flip broke one of their cameras while filming.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
The car flip, they obviously they had either the camera too close or the explosion was too violent, but yeah, they broke one of their cameras with that car flip. And
holy crap.
These cameras are quite expensive.
Oh yeah. Oh
yeah. So yeah, I just thought I'd put that interesting little tidbit in there, because I follow quite a lot of people with our podcast Twitter.
You know what I thought was interesting was that we see Jenny and Crane kind of form this bond in this relationship, and Jenny pulls her sister aside to go, "You're really going to go into purgatory for Crane?" Like, you know, there was just this, it was the first time that I had really seen it was Jenny protecting her sister in the same way that, you know, Abby had just protected her. And I was like, okay, first of all, yes, sisters before misters, yes. But it was, I wonder what Jenny's going to do when she wakes up, because she's going to wake up. This is not a joke. And she finds out that Crane left her sister in purgatory.
But how is she going to find out? There's nobody left to tell her.
Oh my God, Sarah, what's going to happen?
And we had...
Well, eventually Abby will get out.
Oh yeah.
So she'll know. And I feel like Jenny will want to punch Ichabod in the face. And that'll be okay. Maybe she won't. But I really want her to feel like she wants to punch him in the face.
But what the thing I'm worried about is, because like you'd mentioned, there's going to be sort of a time gap between the two series.
Uh-huh.
I'm worried she's going to wake up in a hospital, and after like 2 days of Abby not showing up, she's going to be worried that she's been abandoned again. That's my main worry. And it's going to set her back. You know, it's gonna knock her backwards again in their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Both Abby and Jenny, I'm not really concerned about them. Both of them, I know, can handle themselves really well. Mm-hmm. I just kind of imagined Jenny waking up and busting herself out of the hospital. That's kind of what I envisioned. Because she's like, oh yeah, we got a world to save. Excuse me, don't have time for these IVs. Pluck, pluck.
Can I just say, and, you know, people ripping IVs out of their arm? No, 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 you don't do that. No.
That looks like it really hurts.
It would. It would really hurt. I've had an IV before, and it's not the most pleasant experience in the world. I can't imagine actually physically pulling it out of my arm. For a start, they should have, like, big blood patches on whatever clothes they're wearing whenever they pull an IV out, because that shit's in your vein. You're gonna bleed a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. But, I don't know. I don't know what we're... I just want Jenny alive. I don't want Jenny's memory gone. And I don't want the monster or whatever is inside Jenny's head coming out. Like, no. These are things that I don't want to see. Like... I just want her to be okay and to be ready to go find her sister.
Yeah.
But who knows with these writers?
They will probably surprise us. I have honestly no idea what to expect from episode 1 of season 2.
I don't either, and that's kind of exciting.
It is, because usually you're set up at the end of a season where you're like, oh, so this is going to happen. So, but nope.
We don't know. We have literally no idea.
Because all of our main characters are... Every single storyline has a cliffhanger.
Uh-huh.
So, like, which cliff do I watch?
Yeah. Oh, man. I cannot wait until they do San Diego Comic-Con. I cannot wait, because they're going to show clips, and they're going to tease it, and I'm going to just jump off a bridge, because I am so excited. I'm ready for this. I'm so ready. Ugh.
We have one, well, we've Andy. Do we want to spend a little more time talking about Andy, or have we pretty much...
I mean, I just want to, first of all, talk about, like, congrats to John Cho, but for being awesome all season. But also, like...
Did you see they turned him into a Ken doll?
It was, first of all, his monster stuff was scary. He's had a lot of opportunity to work with, like, the makeup and stuff. I think that would be so much fun. But, you know, this idea that Andy's still in there and that he's trapped. He's, like, consumed by this thing. And, you know, just seeing Andy be Andy again, even if it wasn't purgatory, it broke my heart.
Oh, and Corbin, I was really happy to see him back.
I was too. Oh, my God.
It was just so sweet.
Yeah, except for when his head was being held by his arm.
Yeah. That bit was a bit creepy.
Yeah, I think it was a little weird. Like, when you mentioned Abby and her manipulation of Andy, and it was so weird because that's mostly what we've seen of Abby and Andy, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Andy in purgatory with her, and it's like they're best friends.
Yeah, it's just not what we've seen of them, but granted, we've seen very little. I mean, they could have an entire backstory that would explain why he showed up in her purgatory.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That's something I'm also excited to see with season 2 is more backstory, because the most backstory we've got has been Ichabod, and it's only been him sort of being involved in every significant American history event in some way or another.
Because he gets around. Like, that's one thing that just makes me laugh. Like, really? He's got all these? Come on. Come on. And then he apparently dated, as we found out, the woman who created the flag. She sewn the flag. She had sewn the flag. And I was like, is this for real? For real.
Like, how many historical events can they drop him into without it getting stupid? I think we've almost reached our limit at this point.
You know, this show is campy. That's the thing about this show. This show is very campy. So I don't know if you reach that point where you quote-unquote think it's stupid. I mean, I think we've gone beyond that point. it's believable, don't get me wrong, but it's campy. And you're just kind of like, that don't make no sense. But you accept it, you know, because it's part of the fun of it. But
I think we're in kind of the middle stage between, like, stupid and funny. Like, you do it 5 times and it gets stupid. You do it 10 times and you just laugh. It becomes acceptably ironic.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So we're just waiting on that point to happen with the, let's drop him into, American history has just gone poof out of my head. Because, you know, there's a lot of American history. I know vague events, but I don't know all the little events that happen around that time. Because he died so early on. There's not a lot of... I mean, I'm sure there are events after the point where he died where he could have been involved, but wasn't because he was dead. That made more sense in my head.
Here's the thing. There are Americans who know just about as much as about American history, actual American history, as you do. Don't stress.
Okay, that's a slight relief.
Literally. And that we are the general populace, I think my opinion is that we don't really have solid conceptions of our actual history. But
America only has, well, unless you go back through Native American history, but America as a colonized land only has about 500 years of history.
As a country, it has about 250. Which is like, when you compare it to other places, you're like, damn, for real? And you can't even get that one event right? Come on now.
Yeah, well, one of the first things we learn about in that I remember from, like, junior school history is Vikings. I remember learning about the Vikings.
Oh my gosh.
Which was, like, AD... No, not there, but, you know, much, much earlier.
Wow.
So... Wow. There's no room in my head for American history because I have so much European history.
Yeah.
And even that's slightly weak. History was never my strong point. The bits about history that fascinate me aren't the dates or the events or the politics. It's how people live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fascinated about Victorian lifestyle, Egyptian lifestyle. You know, that's the thing that interests me, not the... And on this day, and blah, 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 this happened, and this person was killed, and this declaration was signed.
I mean, that's the very basic mm-hmm. way that you work with history, but I've... history is part of, like, my liberal arts major and my focus, and it's a lot more complex than that. And you, like you said, you can study things like lifestyle, and it tells you a lot, so...
Well, at least one of us on this podcast knows what they're talking about when we're talking about history. Because if it was two me's talking about American history, we would literally be going, then this happened, don't know what it means... Don't know why Ichabod was there. Don't know what all these people were.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Also, we haven't even mentioned zombie George Washington, but I just want to be like zombie George Washington for real.
It's like one of those... It was all the rage about 5 years ago to bring out old classics like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Uh-huh.
And Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters.
Yes.
It just sounds like another one of those. Zombie George Washington.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And you don't know whether to be, like, amused or offended.
I think you should be amused. Okay. I think you should be amused.
Well, being an ignorant British person, I... don't know George Washington's significance, so I therefore can't be offended, so I will laugh. Ha 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 ha. Okay. We have discussed each person in and out quite deeply.
Yes.
What were our favourite of the twists? Because there was twist after twist after twist, and especially in that last closing 10 minutes.
Yes.
What did you enjoy the most?
Katrina getting thrown over the ship. I mean, like, I know that's not a twist, but that was a twist for me. That was the most surprising thing for me. That I was like, really? They're gonna do that again? Is this a thing happening right now? Oh my god, they're doing the thing! I just couldn't believe that we had fought all season. You know? And then she just ended up exactly where she was before. Like I said, the Henry thing, you know, John Noble sold it. I said this when people were asking me, you know, how it was, and I was like, when I watched the screener, I was like, wow, this is so great. And people are like, well, did we get it? I'm like, most people got most of the twist. But here's the thing. It's not the twist, as you said. It's the aftermath. It's how they handled the twist and what kind of rolled after it that you were just kind of like, what? I can tell you, I did not see Ichabod going into a box. I didn't see that coming. That was probably the most rewarding twist.
Oh! I've just thought of something, and before I forget again, I want to... What did we think of Ichabod's father?
Oh my god, yes! You know, this is so weird for me, because I connected a lot to Abby's purgatory, but Ichabod's was so, like, I just don't understand this. Like, he really, really wanted the admiration of his father. And...
It's not something... We got a brief mention of his father in... Was it the episode with the little boy that had the plague?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we haven't really had enough to build it up. Like, we know that Abby misses Corbin and misses the way her life was before, but we haven't had any hints that Ichabod's... Like, to me, from what the season has built up, Ichabod's version of Purgatory... would have been him and Katrina in the house with baby Jeremy.
Oh my, holy fuck. No. Oh my god. Yes. Okay, whoa. Okay, see, and that is an issue. That's a writing issue right there. Thank you for, like, pointing that glaring thing out. Because we had this moment, and I think it was... At the end of 109 or 110, it was between 108 and 110 when it was that Ichabod arc. And he was talking about, you know, the pride that he felt. He wanted to feel the pride that his father felt about his own son. And I was like, okay. You know, like, I wasn't connecting with that because I didn't get to see Ichabod with his father. That didn't happen. I got to see Abby with Corbin. They had a moment where he came back as a ghost to tell her things, and she got choked up, and, you know, like, there was investment. I had investment there. I don't have investment in Ichabod's relationship with his father. Like, you're absolutely right. His purgatory would have been, like, 10 times more, like, emotionally hitting if it was Katrina and Jeremy. Oh, my God. Holy crap. That would have been, like, 3,000 A pluses in a row.
Yeah. Although I was quite happy of the actor they chose. I really like that actor. He's been in a lot of little things, but his main one that people would probably most recognize him from is Titanic.
Probably Alias, Victor Garber.
Oh,
have you seen Alias?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, Victor Garber. I mean, yes, he was in Titanic. I remember him in Titanic. He's been in a lot. He gets around.
He does.
But yeah, Alias, Titanic, yeah. There's interesting potential for Ichabod and his father in that relationship, but I don't know. I just feel much more like
it was a bit out what of place. You just...
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're trying to pull at the wrong string. It's not working. Yeah. That's not the string that you should be pulling out with him.
Okay. So, do we feel in a place like we can make predictions for Series 2?
Oh my God, what? Well, I did that little thing about Jenny and Frank and Luke and Ichabod and Abby. You know, I do think that Abby... I really don't want this. I don't want Abby to pull herself out of purgatory because I want Crane to atone for this. I do. Part of me is like, I think she's going to pull herself out.
But if we saw her pull herself out, then we'd have to see Crane building up. Because if she has to pull herself out, I think she's going to be pissed.
Here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to write her to be pissed.
But she has every right to be so.
I think she should be pissed. Right. I think she has every right to be pissed. I think she is, you know, that... Not in a way like, oh, you messed me over. It's not... There's a trust... It's not anger. It's disappointment. And bruh, disappointment? Like, when your parents go, I'm mad at you. You're like, okay, whatever. But when they go, I'm disappointed
That's
in you.
Worse.
You're like, why did you say that? Like, I counted on you. I trusted you. And I don't know if I can do these things anymore. And you're like, no, stop! Like, and I think that's where it would come from with Abby. And I don't know if I want to see that thing. I really like the positive side of Abby and Ichabod's relationship a lot. So I just want to predict that he helps get her out. And that while she's in there, or for however long she's in there, she learns things that are vital to help them.
You know, she's not wasting her time, that she has a purpose in purgatory.
Yes. I wonder if they're going to drop another horseman in the next season.
Well, then they're only going to have one left.
I know! Like, and if you want this thing to last, we have two horsemen out of the bag already.
Yeah.
What?
What if... No, that's too far-fetched. That's too crack theory.
What?
What if, when eventually they get Katrina back again, what if they took Katrina because she's going to turn into one of the horsemen?
Bruh, look, there are so many people in the tag that got really mad because they were like, they gave Jeremy the storyline I wanted for Katrina. I think, you know, I want her to be important, and I want her to be vital, and I don't want her to be the damsel in distress. And I think that would be a really awesome way to do it, And it also links back to Ichabod. Everything links back to Ichabod. Would it not be, like, the most awesomest thing if all four of the horsemen were, like, Ichabod's son, the guy, the best friend he betrayed, his wife, and then, like, his dad?
Yeah, that would be...
What?! I'm like, Ichabod, this is all your fault?
You see, that means then... Ichabod's going to have serious trouble as a witness doing his job of, like, getting rid of them.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, that's good. He should be tested. Hopefully he does the right thing. You know, I also think that when you reach a certain point of these things happening to Ichabod, it stops being about, you know, oh my god, Ichabod, you brought this on. And it starts being like, god damn, can he take any more? And you know what? I think that's where the empathy thing with Ichabod comes from, is that you pile it on so much that he just, like, breaks down. You know, like, the guilt becomes so much that he can't handle it. And I think you could have some really, really powerful moments and arcs with Ichabod if we choose to go down that route. I think that all the horsemen are going to be somehow related to Ichabod. That, oh! Or what if the other two are related to Abby? Oh my god.
That's just what I was gonna say. I was waiting for you to finish. Because we've had kind of an Ichabod season. It would be really nice if next one we could have a Abby season.
Yeah. Holy... Because we don't know about her parents, right? We don't know really anything about her parents.
And we don't even know really about her relationships with anyone before kind of... whenever the season started. Like, we could have... Andy could turn into a horseman.
I feel like if they were going to have Andy be a horseman, they would have made him a horseman of, like,
by now.
War.
Okay.
I that's why I was like, I almost thought that's what the locusts were doing. I was like, oh, is he becoming war? Oh my god, he's becoming war. And then he didn't become war. He just became this weird monster-like thing. But John Cho's bare chest, so hey! I think that whole Abby thing would be kind of fun. You know, because they would have equal stakes in this. You know, it wouldn't be that lopsided Ichabod, I'm giving you side eye kind of thing. but I think it would be kind of cool if Katrina ended up in some way being that. I really don't think that they have any intention of making her evil, guys. Like, there are so many people who are like, just make her evil so she can do things! And I don't think she's gonna be evil. I think their intention is to keep her good and
helpless.
Get tossed around like a rag doll.
Good and helpless. How boring.
I just can't believe she picked up a stick, it spun in the air, and then she got taken away again. Never letting go of that, ever. Other predictions. You know, I really want more Luke, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. More Luke, please.
What are your predictions for the Irvings? How do you think that whole situation is going to pan out in season 2?
You know, I obviously think Frank's going to get out of it. He can't not get out of it. We need him. I think that they might call on somebody. You know, you got a lot of hackers there. Jenny's, you know, knows the dark side. and I'm pretty sure she can make some things disappear. I mean, this girl was working with arms dealers. Like,
yeah.
Scary regimes. You can't tell me that she can't make things disappear, you know? Go ahead.
I think, you know, whenever Jenny wakes up, which she is going to wake up, she will wake up, she's not dead, that's mm-hmm. just, mm-hmm. we're not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to go, where's Abby? Don't know. Where's Ichabod? Don't know. You know, the first person she's going to be able to find in their sort of circle is going to be Frank.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I think
I agree.
We'll see them together in the first episode.
And I think and I think she's the one that can help him the most right now that we know of. I just can't, you know, if Jenny doesn't make it, who else is there? That's the thing. Like, there's who else is there? Because everybody is, like, kind of incapacitated right now in one form or another. And no one knows what's going on with everybody else. That's also part of the problem. Is that even if Abby gets out of purgatory first, she doesn't know where Ichabod is. Ichabod could technically walk back into purgatory, but that place looked kind of big. So far, and she's like in a tiny dollhouse. How would he know to look in the tiny dollhouse? That's so bizarre. Did he put them in a dollhouse? Weird. I don't know. I wonder if we're going to meet new characters.
I think we'll have to meet some.
Like right in the beginning or like later on?
I don't know. Unless in the break, Jenny and Frank have recruited some people to help them. But again, that's totally dependent on where they're going with those characters, but they haven't given us very many hints of what's going to happen. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
In terms of writing and characters and plot, what do you want to see more of in season 2?
Well, I'm going to say it. I just said it. I'll say it again. Luke, stop messing around with Luke. Luke can be really great.
Yeah.
More middle sisters together. Working together. More of them. Like, there's an entire show called Supernatural that's built on a bond between siblings. This is not Supernatural. This show is not Supernatural. But clearly, Lindy and Nicole have this vibrant chemistry that just, like, wrecks you. And I'm like, their characters are both badass, and they're smart, and they care about each other, and I want to see them doing shit together. I feel like the finale handled Ichabod really well, actually. I'll just kind of figure out what they're going to do with him when it comes along. I want Katrina to have a legitimate storyline.
I'm almost at the point where I don't care either way.
Yeah, because she's just a thing that's there.
Like, if she has a storyline, okay, good. If she doesn't, okay, don't care. I'm so... They're going to have to work their butt off with Katrina to win. Because I was such... Katrina and Ichabod, those first couple of episodes, I was like, oh, this epic love and blah, blah, blah. And then... just kind of fizzled out like a firework that didn't go off. Kind of flopped over and went, nope.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and this is like our main, by the way, this is our main love story, too. Like, I want to point out that it Katrina has made driest couples list.
Yeah.
What? Like... your main romantic ship on a show, your supposedly platonic ship on the show is more exciting with chemistry and action than your canonical one. Your canonical romantic relationship. Fix that. Because Katrina's dependent on it. Her entire existence is dependent on this romance.
I think it's good for the point, because I think there are enough shows on TV at the moment with, you know, about romance as its main topic.
Yeah,
so I think from that point of view, it's good, but from the point of view of, yeah, just, they're boring.
Or just find another thing for her to do.
Yeah. Find her a use. How about that?
Yes. I mean, she has one. That's the thing. She has one. She's a powerful witch. You just don't use her. You just don't.
But she's not.
I mean, that's part of the problem.
She's not a powerful witch. Not anymore.
That's right. Because all she can do is pick up a stick and spin it, right?
She couldn't even do that particularly well.
Oh my god, what are they going to do? I just don't understand what they're going to do with her. It's the weirdest. I mean, it's literally, for me, the weirdest plot decision that they've made to have her get caught again. I don't even know. But other things that I want to see. I want them to develop their, you know, I think Frank has been developed really, really well. And I would like for them to pay attention to their other supporting characters and kind of develop them more and include them more in the main character storylines. Instead of creating storylines for them outside of the mains, why don't you build them into the main storylines? More downtime. I don't know if this is the thing that you want or would like, but I would be particularly interested in having more downtime moments, spending time with Abby and Jenny and her house, spending time with Ichabod alone in the cabin, like, and what does he do, and, you know, cops going out for drinks, and, you know, just kind of very Abby and Frank going out for drinks. Can you imagine how great that would be? Just scenes where they're human beings, and it's not all this, the world is ending tomorrow. Hurry up, make sure you got your gun.
That is a very good point. It is a very sort of content, action-heavy, go-go-go sort of show. And it would be nice to see them relax.
Yeah.
So, Sleepy Hollow writers, if you're listening, do all these things.
They're probably like, whatever. It's okay. I mean, I feel like they might have some of this in mind. I don't know. I have no idea where they're going. This is just insane. I'm excited, though. I'm really, really excited to see.
So am I.
What is like comes back.
And we want to know what you think. What are your predictions for season 2? If you want to contact us, you can do so. I forgot to leave the email and stuff at the top of the show, but we're going to put them here and we'll put them in the show notes. But our email is welcometosleepyhollow@gmail.com. Our Twitter is WTSHpodcast. And our Tumblr is welcometosleepyhollow.tumblr.com with the number 2, not the word. An hour and a half later.
It was good, man. It was good. That finale was so good.
That finale, though. So, yes. We will be back. We will endeavor. We will make a schedule. And we will try our best to stick to it.
Yes.
Going back through the series. And looking at characters. And looking at episodes. And looking at story arcs. And we will endeavor to keep you up to date with news as well. So follow us at all the places and we'll keep you informed.
Follow. Yes, we will.
All the places. Okay. So that's it. Finale. Season 1, done, dusted. Put in a box on the shelf.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
We did it. It's over.
So yeah, it's over. I don't know what else to say at this point.
No, there's not really anything other than
I wondered if it was going to come back this episode.
Yeah, I mean it was, man, it was.
I'm glad it was a good finale. I'm glad these back couple of episodes have been good because it was. It got me worried there a bit in the middle.
Me too. I mean, like, I feel like now with the finale, I'm gonna go back and rewatch it, and it might read differently. Do you know what I mean? Like, you might have a different relationship with it. But, yeah, me too. I was getting concerned. I was like, oh no, what's happening to this show? But yeah, I think they finally found their group. I think that's what it is. That they have finally found the format that works best for them, and I hope they keep it up because it's a great one.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so for now, let's say goodbye, and we will see you sometime in the next couple of weeks, and we'll probably start off with just a general season recap.
Yes.
Okay, so for now, I'm gonna say goodbye. Bye.
Goodbye.